Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Baltimore Sports Talk with your hosts Rob McQuay and Jeff Coles, also featuring Philly Jeff Dye. Now, get your game on.
Oh, if only the Baltimore Ravens could get their game on, but obviously that's not going to happen, and probably, unless something drastic happens, won't happen at all this year. This is Baltimore Sports Talk. I'm Rob McQuay, your host. Jeff Coles, my co-host in Mount Vernon, Ohio, and Philly Jeff Dyer in Bel Air, Maryland. Gentlemen, ugly day for both the Baltimore Ravens and the Philadelphia Eagles. Jeff Coles, let's start with your, you know, first impressions of the Baltimore Ravens, and then we'll talk to Philly Jeff about the Eagles.
I didn't get to see it live, Rob, but let me tell you something. When I looked at the time of possession, the first thing I saw, the Ravens had the ball 35 minutes. They didn't turn the ball over. And, you know, when you look at that, no interceptions, no fumbles. And they walk away with a loss like this, that tells me something very serious. And obviously, injuries and penalties really killed them.
Indeed, and we'll get into that in depth here in a couple of minutes. Philly Jeff, what happened with the Philadelphia Eagles yesterday in Washington?
Probably two things is our cornerbacks got exposed and we continue to rack up senseless penalties. And, you know, they guys up there like, oh, no, that's bad referees. I said, you can't grab somebody by the face mask and blame it on the refs. Let's be reasonable now.
Well, that it sounds like we were watching the same two teams play, because that's the Ravens secondary was exposed, and they had 15 penalties for 111 yards. 15 penalties. Unacceptable.
Not only that, 111 yards is a pretty good ground game for today. You know that?
Well, 111 yards, if I recall correctly, is 7 points, isn't it?
Yeah. At least.
So they gave up a touchdown and penalties.
Wow.
Terrible. All right. I did not watch the Eagles game. I did watch the Ravens. I didn't even flip back and forth because I had some other things going on, which kind of prevented me from doing that. But so I can't speak to the Eagles game. I've seen a couple of the highlights.
Having a beer in each hand doesn't mean you can't flip the TV
There was no Natty Bow yesterday.
You needed it. Really needed it to watch either one of those games. Honest to God. Yeah. Well, I mean, you start the game off missing three of your five starting linemen on an offensive line that I wouldn't consider to be even better than average, the average at best, when they're healthy.
Yeah, yeah. Right, the Ravens O-line? Yeah, that's true. I mean, you got two rookies starting on the left side, and they're actually playing better than any of the subs on the right and in the center. Because Zutau had to go out for a play.
And so, all of a sudden now, rookies are kind of being the leaders on that line. And, you know, that's a lot to ask of them.
Yeah. All right. Well, penalties, injuries, it has begun to feel like last year all over again. And there doesn't really seem to be any way that it's going to get fixed in sight. Changing the coordinator Okay, they ran the ball 25 times. Well, technically it's 26, but one of those was Joe, and he didn't really run the ball. So I'm going to say 25 times they ran the ball, which was an improvement, about, I think, about 10 carries more than last week. That was an improvement. They didn't have the success running the ball like they did against the Redskins, but it wasn't bad. But given all of that, I didn't see a whole lot of play action passes, and I think that's where Joe excels in the passing game, is when he's able to play action, and the run game is going well. So we didn't see that. We did see some deep throws. That was encouraging, because we haven't seen that. We didn't see that under, oh, my goodness, Mark Trestman. I was going to say I've forgotten him already. Yeah. So that was nice. And, Wallace had a terrific catch at one point down the sideline. So that all was nice. But, you can't have 15 penalties. Every time they had something that kind of seemed to keep a drive going in terms of a play, there was some kind of a stupid penalty, holding, uh-huh, whatever, that pulled them back into, first and 15, first and 20, second and 20, just really bad, undisciplined play. And that to me, guys, goes on the head coach.
Yep.
I'm not even going to say so much the coordinators. It really goes, it's all the coaches, but that's got to come from the top down. And that's a problem. Philly Jeff, I was wanting to get to, and we've got more stuff to talk about that we could possibly talk about today, I think. I wanted to get to the conversation that you and I were having over text message yesterday, because I really there was some stuff that I didn't quite understand what you were saying, what your point was, and so I wanted to chat about that. Also, I have another friend out there that I text with during games, and he sent me a list of questions, about six questions, which I thought would be great, some great talking points that we can go through, if we have time, at least hit some of them, and some of them we already talked about a little bit. But Philly Jeff, I'm not sure that we were connecting in our communication yesterday. I know you're not a Harbaugh fan, and I know you're calling for his exit, and I would have to say that I'm getting to that point where I agree with you on that. So I'm not sure why we were missing. We're kind of missing our communication here. So,
you made a list. You said, you've got starters injured. They're getting penalties. They're et cetera. There was a whole litany of things that were not great yesterday. But
right.
the thing is, what I was trying to say was Harbaugh is not injured. His players are. Harbaugh's not getting penalties. His players are. And so my question was, if this morning they fired Harbaugh, you're out of here, and they brought in, mm-hmm, it doesn't matter whomever they bring in next, he would, mm-hmm, still have injured players. He would still have players taking penalties. And so the question becomes, is it from the top or is it from the bottom? Because they've got more problems than just Harbaugh.
Well, okay. I mean, fair enough. Fair enough. And then I guess maybe that's an argument to say, you let the season ride out with Harbaugh. But here's why I believe both of those things are Harbaugh's fault. Now, of course, if you bring in, and I say fire Harbaugh and bring in Ray Lewis, have Ray Lewis be the head coach of this team.
Yeah.
Now, I know you're going to laugh at that, and that it's a little bit tongue in cheek. However, This is what I'll say. The two things that we're talking about, I don't think a Ray Lewis team would have. They would not be undisciplined. And that starts in training camp, or that starts in the spring in OTAs or wherever. That starts in a mentality in the conference room, in the locker room, film room, whatever. Discipline and having 15 penalties that's not going to fly with a coach that's going to bear down on that, whether it's sitting people down when they make penalties, and whatever, or I don't know what that is, but there are stronger coaches, I think, that don't have undisciplined teams like that. You know, Terrell Suggs, stop lining up in the neutral zone and being offsides. That's just stupid. And that can be coached. You know why? You sit him down. You say you're not playing.
He's a veteran, Rob. He's a veteran. I'm sorry. He can't learn that by now, then maybe he needs to be benched.
That's what I said. Sit him down.
Yeah, sit him down.
Right. Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's the penalty thing. Injuries. Now, I'm not sure that I think injuries are partly coaching. Only in that the conditioning seems to be suspect. I don't understand. Yeah. We didn't used to have guys in the old days hurt as much as they seem to be. And this is across the NFL. It's a conditioning thing, and I think it also goes to the players' collective bargaining agreement where they've gotten this stuff where you're not allowed to practice in pads or tackle or you know, whatever it is. It just seems kind of silly and ridiculous. But injuries, so the injuries is in the control, I think, in some way, of the head coach in terms of getting these players properly conditioned for a season. And so you're right. It's not going to happen mid-season. And so maybe, you ride it out with Harbaugh until the end of the season, then you make the change. So in that, I guess, maybe there we agree. I think in the long run,
if you're going to make a change, you know, if it gets to the point in a few more games, you probably need to get rid of Harbaugh and start bringing in a new mentality into your conditioning and start thinking long-term.
Yeah, I mean, true. Maybe you start implementing that thought process now. You're not going to be able to change it, during mid-season. But maybe you can start changing the mentality. So that's a fair point as well. So I don't know, Philly Jeff. Does any of that make sense, or you want to take?
I look at it this way. And this goes back quite a ways now, but when the Cowboys said what we have here isn't working and they brought in Jimmy Johnson in the first year, he's 1-15, and you could easily say, God, this guy's horrible. But what they saw was he has a system that if we can work this, and then, you know, bang, 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 off they went to the Super Bowl. So, I mean, I think part of the problem is if you lose the ship, and I think maybe Harbaugh is losing the ship, then I don't care who you got. They're not going to play for him anymore. And what I'm seeing here is what you said is Flacco's best if he's in a play action. Well, then if you know that and I know that and Jeff Cole's out in Mount Vernon knows that, then how the hell do you keep somebody that continues to take this guy out of what works well for him? That's what I don't get.
Well, yeah, you're right. I don't think any of us get it. It obviously doesn't make any sense. All right. Let's get to some of these other talking points, because in that we can speak to that a little bit. Hang on. I'm looking for, because there was one of these questions that kind of goes to that point. Mistake, lack of discipline, poor decision making. I'm drawing a blank, guys. Drawing a blank at the moment. Let's. All right. So I'm completely distracted.
What is Ravens suck?
Yeah, but they don't. They don't need. All right.
No, I noticed something this week. Go back a couple weeks. There was no middle. everybody was like really good or really bad. And then I look at the, you know, the, what's happened to the, you know, the Ravens might win their division by default because God, Pittsburgh got shellacked again. Cincinnati is miserable, and then of course there's that other team.
And you know, when you talk about you know, Cincinnati, I mean, that, you know, Gronk, Patriots, they knew what to do. I mean, Gronk was out there talking to, you know, talking to Perfect and getting Perfect all riled up and throwing him off his game. Now, we had an opportunity with Odell Beckham to do the same thing and get him all riled up. And we're not even able to exploit those mental things. You know, we can't even do that as a team. You know, we don't have that winning combination that can do those things. And by the way, you'll be happy to know that Odell Beckham has married the net. Practice net.
I saw him posing.
Yes.
It's ridiculous. That guy is ridiculous.
Say, you know, I'll marry you, but you got to get rid of that Swiffer mop on top of your head.
That
is just unsightly. But then again, he's the best player in football, so I guess he can do whatever he damn pleases.
Yeah,
I guess so. All right. I think a lot of this coaching stuff goes toward these guys, coordinators, coaches, whatever. You know, part of the coach, as a coach, you've got to be able to evaluate and recognize properly the talent that you have. And then when you know what the talent is, what the strengths and weaknesses are, then you scheme an offense and a defense that takes use of those strengths and weaknesses. And then you have to know what plays to call within that scheme, you know, as the game goes along. And this is where I think our coaching staff is failing.
Our strength is moving the ball in the wrong direction, and yesterday we moved it 111 yards in the wrong direction.
Well, also, I'm sorry, and maybe you guys disagree with me, but, and I said it before the play happened, on 4th-and-1, kick the doggone field goal. This year, in with this team, and this is an example of poor coaching, I think. If you have the Dallas Cowboys offensive line, then you run the ball on 4th-and-1 into the end zone. But you don't, and you haven't proved you can do that pretty much all season. And we had a similar situation last week where you don't kick a field goal. You go with a fake field goal. You don't convert it. You don't get any points, and you lose the game by 1 point. This week, you lose it by 4. However, if you had kicked the field goal, it would be a 1-point game, and you'd have the opportunity in that end, that last drive, to kick a field goal, potentially to win the game. So it's a fail on the coach.
If you've got, you know, if you've got the best field goal kicker, probably in the NFL, or one of the best, you know, it's like having the best relief pitcher in the game.
Don't go there. No. Ubaldo. No.
Well, fail.
That was a fail.
One thing I'll say is Baltimore has two head coaches that seem to think alike.
Thank you. We may have two fewer head coaches.
Oh, my God.
We have two teams who have blown their season practically in the same month.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, But the same could be said about Mike Tomlin. You know, bam to the Eagles, bam to, God, who they could be? Oh, the Dolphins? You're losing to the Dolphins. Yeah. You've got a problem. I'm sorry, or the Tennessee Titans.
Well, I mean, I can tend to agree with that, but here's the difference. The Pittsburgh Steelers have shown this season that, I mean, they've had some dominating games that they've won. The Ravens haven't had anything like that. Even the games they won were games that they could have and maybe should have lost. So it's last year all over again, guys. I'm telling you, it's last year all over again. They're 3-3 now. If they don't go and beat the Jets, I'm very concerned. You know, but even if they do beat the Jets, and then they're 4-3, they go into their bye week. They come back after the bye, I believe, with the Steelers. And you've got the Steelers, the Browns, the Cowboys, the Patriots, the Dolphins, the Bengals twice.
Oh, God, not the...
So the season, the second half of the season, I mean, right now, I don't see any of those games that we win. Maybe one of the Browns games, and maybe one of the Bengals games, and maybe one of the Steelers games. So maybe three more wins,
depending on which Steelers show up.
Oh, and I forgot, and we've got the Eagles as well. Now that'll be interesting to see. You know, when we can, because right now the Eagles and the Ravens look like kind of the same. They're mirrors of one another in a way.
Yeah.
And not a good way.
Right.
Yeah.
So,
But I showed our schedule coming up.
Mm-hmm.
We play Minnesota.
Oh.
We have Green Bay. We have Seattle. Yeah. We have Atlanta. Atlanta.
Wow.
Ooh.
Ooh. Wow. That's.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
I mean, that's not good. That's the same kind of, you know, that's basically what the Ravens are facing in the AFC.
Yep.
So, I mean, you know, you say the Eagles have the Vikings. Well, that's akin to the Patriots in the AFC. In fact, I wouldn't be a bit surprised if that isn't the Super Bowl this year, Minnesota, New England. Just the way those two teams are playing. I mean, Dallas is going to make a good push. But I don't even know who in the AFC will compete with the Patriots. Can you think of one?
Nope.
Buffalo's going to give them a run in their division, but that's about it.
Yeah. Buffalo, I think, is a little sporadic, though. I'm not sure if they'll, you know.
Add Tyrod Taylor. There, I had to say the name.
Dude.
He would look as bad as Flacco right now, telling you.
Yeah, but it would at least, we could at least have a laugh about it, because then Jeff would do his Tyrod's mom impression, and we'd have some comedy with it.
Oh boy. All right. Well, I'm ready to kind of forget this game yesterday and try to look ahead. It'll be interesting to see who plays. Suggs has a torn bicep, but he wants to keep playing. Jimmy Smith left the game with a concussion, so we'll have to see what, you know, as he goes through that protocol, what that'll be. And, you know, here's the other thing, guys. The injuries are exposing the fact that the Ravens have no depth. The starters are NFL starters, but beyond that, it's bad. And, you know, when Sharice Wright is your second best cornerback on the team, you have an issue on defense. And they may have some young guys that may be able to step up and do the job, but they're not doing it right now because they're too young and inexperienced. And they haven't been coached up. And again, it all kind of goes back to coaching. I mean, the players have to play, they have to execute, and all that stuff. But coaches have to put them in a good position.
And that, again, the coach. How at this point, I think a couple of weeks ago, I was saying, we were talking baseball, and I was saying that Buck Showalter, probably the clock is at a year for him, and if by October he's either not making the playoffs or he's making another big mistake, in the playoffs, he might be gone. How long are we giving Harbaugh at this point?
Noon.
I don't. I actually said somewhere along the way yesterday, I think, that I wouldn't be a bit surprised if he was fired today. But I think, Philly Jeff, you think you make some good points. I don't know that removing him right now is going to change anything. But, and again, as far as the offensive coordinator situation goes, we can't make an evaluation, a judgment, solely based on one game yesterday. And remember, last year when Caldwell, not last year, but a couple years ago when Caldwell took over, when Cam Cameron was fired, the Ravens went out and got pounded by the Denver Broncos. Now, I'm not saying the Giants are no Denver Broncos.
But I'll tell you what, if they lose badly and they look bad against the Jets, then they have a bye week. Then I would start thinking, if they're going to get rid of him sooner, that's probably the time.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah, I agree. I was going to say exactly. Now I forgot the bye week part, but I was thinking exactly the same thing. If they go out and get smoked by the Jets, I can't in any scenario see him staying, unless they're just so loyal that they can't get rid of him.
Yeah.
Because this is not just a team playing bad. This is a team playing stupidly with all the penalties and mistakes, and a team that could really, it has a lot of young people that you don't want to get demoralized. You want to get them on a road where they're being coached up, where they're building towards something, and they're not right now.
Right.
Right.
Well, I don't know that they'll get smoked by the Jets. I mean, they haven't been smoked by anybody this year, and that's probably not going to happen until they play the Cowboys and the Patriots and possibly the Steelers, although they generally play those divisional games pretty tight. But I just don't think they're going to get smoked by the Jets, but they can't lose to the Jets. I think if they lose to the Jets, then – I agree. I think because they go into the bye, I think that might be that may be the time to make the change if he's going to do it.
Yeah.
All right. Who do the Eagles have next week?
Minnesota.
Oh, boy.
Well, that's going to be that'll be the proving ground for what they are and whatever. But I'll tell you something. This breaks my heart to say this, which has nothing to do with the Eagles. I truly thought that maybe Green Bay was going to be the team that derailed Dallas a little bit. Let me tell you something about the Dallas Cowboys. Yep. This guy, I don't even want to hear the name Tony Romo. You don't take Dak Prescott out of this team. That guy threw an interception, and it was like, oh, maybe he's human. And then he said, man, screw that, and he went right back out, and they beat Green Bay in Green Bay.
In Green Bay.
This team might be a legit contender.
I totally agree. I mean, Zach Prescott is doing too well at this point. You don't want to pull a young rookie doing that well. You could really wreck his confidence. Tony Romo now, would be a great backup when he comes back. And then you have the option of pulling Prescott if he's having a bad game and putting Romo in for several series and knowing your team's going to be fine on the field while you coach up Prescott and help him along on those bumps in the road and put him back in and let him do well.
Yeah. I think the way it looks right now, the NFC championship game is probably the Dallas Cowboys against the Minnesota Vikings.
Yeah.
So the Cowboys are the real deal. They have the best offensive line in the league, I think. That's a great situation for a rookie quarterback, and he doesn't look like a rookie.
Yeah.
All right, gentlemen.
You
don't get Romo a ring. and that is true. That is true. Oh, my goodness. All right. Hey, look, guys, we're out of time. So final thoughts, Jeff Coles?
I even hate to call this Ravens Jets game, but I'm gonna say Jets 23, Ravens 20. And if it's any worse than that, bye bye Harbaugh.
Did you say 23-20 Jets?
Yeah, Jets.
Wow. Well, all right, Philly Jeff, your final thoughts.
Go Cleveland Indians. I want to see them in the World Series so they can have a Major League 4. And then, I truly want to hope that Carson Wentz comes back to what he's capable of and that maybe we can slow down Minnesota. And I'm going to go out on a limb here. Eagles win on a last-second field goal, 31-28.
All right.
I think the Eagles win. I think the Eagles are going to beat the Minnesota Vikings.
Yeah. All right.
Well,
good.
Because they know Sam Bradford. They know Sam Bradford,
yeah,
so maybe that will help us.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. I'm gonna jump on the World Series thing as well. I'd love to see Cubs versus Indians in the World Series.
Yeah.
I'd love to see the Cubs make it there, and I want to see them play anybody but the Toronto Blue Jays, which means that would be the Cleveland Indians. I just don't want to see the Blue Jays there. So that's that. And as far as the Jets Ravens next week, you may be right, Jeff Coles, but I'm gonna have to predict a Ravens win just because we have to win it. And I'm gonna say 20-17 Ravens.
Yeah. Now there's a stipulation there, Rob. We have to still figure out who the actual home team in that stadium is.
That's true. Very true. All right, and on that note, that'll do it. Folks, this has been Baltimore Sports Talk here on MQFL Live, blogtalkradio.com network. And I'm Rob McQuay. That's Jeff Coles in Mount Vernon, Ohio, and Philly Jeff Dyer in Blair, as we say around here, Blair, Maryland.
Blair!
So, yep, Blair.
We have a town here called Newark, and we call it Nerk,
yeah. Okay, that's it. Have a great week, guys. We'll talk again next Monday with more of Baltimore Sports Talk. We'll see you all then.
Thanks for listening to Baltimore Sports Talk here on MQFL Live on the blogtalkradio.com network. Join us again next week as we explore Baltimore sports.
Light presents Real Men of Genius.
Real Men of Genius.
Today we salute you, Mr. Athletic Groin Protector Inventor.
Mr. Athletic Groin Protector Inventor.
People love to play sports, but they don't love it when they get hit in the twig and berries. For years, cringing fans watched as man after man went down. But then you came along and said, here, stick this in your pants.
Nice to meet you.
The errant headbutt, the inside fastball, the wayward high five, all no match for your crash helmet.
I'll bring it on!
Sure, some athletes shun them, but don't worry, they'll come around.
Show us the way!
So crack open an ice-cold Bud Light protector of the package and know that we're just nuts about you.
We're just nuts.
Bud Light beer, Anheuser-Busch, Collins, Colorado.